This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Time now for part one of the Morning Farm Show, brought to you by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield, and by Farm Credit Services of Illinois.
Choosing the right crop insurance for your farming operation can be challenging. At Farm Credit Services of Illinois, our professionals know crop insurance and can explain the different coverage options available. Farm Credit can provide the latest information on new crop insurance policy combinations, along with recent changes to the Federal Crop Insurance Program guidelines. Information that helps you choose the best coverage plan for your farming operation, whether it's a yield or revenue coverage policy or the new total weather insurance program. Farm Credit provides you the latest coverage information, product knowledge, and exceptional customer service, all delivered to you conveniently with our on-farm service. Call us today at 800-444-FARM for the crop insurance coverage to meet your risk management demands. Whether we're in the field with you or in the office for you, farming is our life too. Remember, 800-444-FARM. At Farm Credit, we understand.
Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer in Litchfield, is your one-stop shop for equipment, Firestone truck and passenger tires, wheel alignments, shocks, struts, suspension, and steering repairs. Mike Taylor and the experienced staff will diagnose the problem and make the necessary repairs using quality chassis parts. Plus, Taylor Tire and Auto can complete the job with an accurate wheel alignment to original factory specifications. Taylor Tire and Auto, your Firestone tire dealer at the west end of Tyler Street in Litchfield.
It's 9 minutes after the hour of six on this Wednesday morning, the DTN general opening call. Corn expected to open 1 to 2 lower, beans 3 to 4 lower, wheat 3 to 5 lower. The overnight crude oil market, 76 cents lower at 102.20, Brent crude 62 cents lower at 111.51. The February gold contract, a dime lower at $1,600.40. The U.S. dollar index, 0.351 higher at 79.962. On the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, May wheat closed at 657. That was down 4.25. May wheat closed at 676. That was down 4.75. July wheat closed at 691.75. That was down 5.5. March corn on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 658.5, up 12. May corn closed at 667, up 12.25. July corn closed at 673.75, up 12.5. January soybeans on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 1218.25, up 19.75. March beans closed at 1227.5, up 19.75. May beans closed at 1237.25, up 19.75. January soybean meal on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 315.80, up 64. March meal closed at 319.20, up 61. May meal closed at 321.60, up 58. January soybean oil on the Chicago Board of Trade Tuesday closed at 52.80, up 71 cents. March oil closed at 53.11, up 69. May oil closed at 53.49, up 71. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Ken McFarland with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Grain Market News Report. Illinois country grain prices were higher on Tuesday afternoon. The continuation of the dry weather for South American corn and soybean crops helped to push corn and soybean values higher. Soybean export inspections were also higher than expectations at 34.05 million bushels. Central Illinois country grain deals quoted their corn bids 11 to 14 cents higher at 640 to 656. Soybeans are up 17 to 20 cents at 1192 to 1205. Corn bids in southern Illinois were up 12 cents at 650 to 665. Soybeans up 16 to 22 at 1194 to 1222. Wheat bids were mixed at 636 to 657. Country grain dealers in the St. Louis area reported corn bids 10 to 12 higher at 641 to 651. Soybeans were up 15 to 17 at 1203 to 1205, and wheat closed mixed at 645 to 647. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 8 to 13 cents higher at 651 to 657. Soybeans were 13 to 19 cents higher at 1219 to 1225. And new crop wheat was up 6 cents at 648 to 657. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators quoted their producer corn bids 10 cents higher at 671 to 672. These elevators raised their soybeans 19 to 30 cents with quotations at 1231 to 1251. Wheat closed up 4 at 665 to 666, and milo was up 8 at 657 to 658. This is Ken McFarland returning to WSMI.
February hogs on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 85.52, up $1.22. April hogs closed at 88.45, up 75. May hogs closed at 95.30, up 47. February cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 121.55, up a dime. April cattle closed at 125.27, down 17. June cattle closed at 124.77, up 20. January feeder cattle on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday closed at 146.67, up 32. March feeders closed at 149.42, up 62. April feeders closed at 150.82, that was up 65 cents. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture offices in Springfield for the cash livestock market report.
The closing livestock reports for Tuesday, January 3rd. For the Eastern Corn Belt, daily direct hogs, barrels, and gilts closed 54 cents higher. Carcass base price range, 77.81 to 81 even, and a weighted average of 78.41. Hogs purchased in Illinois today, 10,350. Illinois direct brown gilt trade was steady, 53 to 58, with Illinois direct slaughter south steady to firm. U.S. 1s to 3s under 400 pounds and 400 to 450 pounds at 43 to 49. 450 to 550 pounds at 45 to 50, over 550 pounds at 48 to 51. Today's estimated receipts, 1,500, Friday's actuals, 850, and Monday, 225. Pork carcass cutout, 85.61, and that is up 45 cents. The estimated daily livestock slaughter and fell inspection, hogs on Monday, 5,000. Today, 433,000, and week to date, 438,000. Cattle for Monday, 6,000. Today, 132,000. Week to date, 138,000. Box beef can have values were weak on choice and firm on select on light demand and offerings. Total movement today, 194, choice at 194.08, that is down 65 cents. Select at 180.19, and that is up 75 cents. Again, choice at 194.08, down 65 cents. At the Fairview Livestock Auction Opening Report, estimated receipts of 334 compared to last week. Slaughter steers and heifers were trading a dollar higher. Slaughter steers, choice twos to threes, 125 to 132 and a half. Heifers, choice twos to threes at 124 and a quarter to 130. At the Hamilton's Madison County Ag Hay Auction on Saturday, 2,327 bales sold or 251.27 tons compared to 2 weeks ago. Premium and good quality hay in small squares traded mostly steady. Hay in large squares and large rounds sold 10 to 30 higher. Wheat straw sold mostly steady. Alfalfa premium quality small squares at 7 to 8.5 with large squares at 106. Good quality small squares at 520 to 690. Large squares at 80. Alfalfa mixed grass premium quality small squares at 7 to 790. Large squares 121 to 126. Good quality small squares at 410 to 680 with large squares at 80 to 87. Orchard grass, good quality large squares at 86 with large rounds at 81 to 90. Rye hay with grain heads, good quality large rounds at 81. With milo with the grain heads, good quality large squares at 99. Sudan grass, good quality small squares at 470 with large rounds at 42. Mixed grass, good quality small squares at 360 to 670. Large squares at 78 to 91 and large rounds at 71 to 90. At the Arthur Hay Auction on Monday, 2,267 bales sold, or 68.25 tons, compared to last week. All classes of hay traded mostly steady. Alfalfa premium quality small squares at 8 to 11 and a quarter, and good quality small squares at 6 and a quarter to 775, and large squares from 100 to 115. Alfalfa mixed grass premium quality small squares at 8 to 8 and a quarter, good quality small squares at 5.5 to 675, and large squares at 95. Mixed grass, good quality small squares, 5 to 6. 50, large squares at 65 to 67 and a half, and wheat straw, good quality, small squares 2.5 to 3.25, and large squares at 30. Thank you. This is Kim Harmon with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture Livestock Grain Market News Service. Returning you back to WSMI.
On the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday, Class 3 milk for January closed at $17.14, down 12. February milk at $17.59, up 16. March milk closed at $17.55, up 9 cents. Non-fat dry milk for January closed at $1.40, unchanged. February non-fat dry milk at $1.40, unchanged. And March non-fat dry milk at $1.40.25, unchanged. January butter on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange yesterday closed at $1.61.5, unchanged. February butter closed at $1.65, up $1.47.5. March butter closed at $1.65.75, up a quarter. Spot prices for December: Class 3 milk, $18.77, that was down 30 cents. Class AA butter, $1.60, that was up a half a dollar. And non-fat dry milk, grade A, $1.45, that was unchanged. Right now, we'll have the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated for corn delivered to Greenfield for January, $6.55, for February, $6.60. Corn delivered to Scottville for January, $6.46, for February, $6.52. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for January, $12.02, for February, $12.03. Wheat delivered to Scottville for January, $6.29. For more information or to confirm the bids, contact Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 368-2888. Once again, 368-2888. The pre-opening prices: corn at Greenfield, $6.55. Corn at Scottville, $6.46. Beans at Scottville or Greenfield, $12.02. Wheat at Scottville, $6.29. Once again, the DTN general opening call: corn 1 to 2 lower, beans 3 to 4 lower, wheat 3 to 5 lower. The overnight crude oil market, 76 cents lower at 102.20. Brent crude 62 lower at 111.51. February gold contract a dime lower at $1,600.40. That's all for part one of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue in Litchfield. Color radar showing no precipitation in the mid-Illinois listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
As the weather turns cold and the temperatures drop, your diesel engines work harder than ever. Now is the time to get the diesel fuel that works as hard as your equipment, FS Diesel X Gold. It gives your engines the power and protection they need all winter long. FS Diesel X Gold can be winterized with SureFlow 4, which ensures maximum performance during the coldest winter temperatures. See M&M Service Company for the diesel fuel that gives your engines greater power, protection, and fuel economy. Give your engines FS Diesel X Gold. M&M Service Company, the local solution to your world of needs.
Across mid-Illinois for your Wednesday, sunny skies, high temperatures in the low 40s with west winds at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly clear, low temperatures in the upper 20s, and for tomorrow, Thursday, sunny skies, high temperatures in the low 50s. Your extended forecast for Friday through Sunday, clear to partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the upper 20s, high temperatures in the low 40s. Right now at the Weather Center, south winds at 6 miles per hour, the barometric pressure steady. Our temperature 31 degrees under partly cloudy skies. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company. Part 2 of the Morning Farm Show is yours next.
Film development has never been so easy at Savemore Pharmacy and Gift Shop on the square in Verdant. They're glad to offer one-hour photo finishing and their Sony Picture Station. And Savemore Pharmacy makes your prescriptions more convenient. They offer free delivery on prescriptions, one-hour photo finishing, the Sony Picture Station, free prescription delivery. Get it all at Savemore Pharmacy and Gift Shop, located on the north side of the square in Verdant.
And part two of the Morning Farm Show on this Wednesday morning, brought to you by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau. In our farm news today, Illinois residents wore galoshes more often than snow boots in December and barely broke out the parkas. State climatologist Jim Angel says the average statewide temperature in December was 35.7 degrees, almost 6 degrees above average. That's the ninth warmest December since the state began keeping records in 1895. The highest temperature, 67 degrees in Carroll, that was recorded on December the 5th. All that warm weather naturally meant less snow, although rainfall was above average, with 7.7 inches recorded at Brookport Dam. The biggest snowfall recorded in December was 4 inches in Stockton in far northwestern Illinois. That compares to less than an inch in southeastern Illinois and an inch or two everywhere else. Last winter, much of Illinois had gotten 10 to 25 inches of snow by mid-December. On the horse program over the weekend, we talked to Frank Bowman of the Illinois Horsemen's Council. When we talked, he was in Colorado, and one of the topics was the problem of feral horses. And he said that has become a real problem, especially in the western states.
Oh, absolutely it is. We've been in negotiations. Actually, a group of us went to Washington, D.C. last fall with representatives from the Native American tribes who have the biggest problem with it on their reservations, where in the western states, you know, there's not a lot of fences, and folks are where the hay's dry, where it's been dry, and there's not a lot of hay, and hay prices are extremely high around the country this year, really. And, you know, folks who can no longer afford to feed their horses or turn them loose on the bigger western lands, and the western landowners, the ranchers, and the tribal nations are seeing an exploding population of feral horses on their lands, and are asking the federal government not for assistance, but to just get out of the way so that they can take care of the problem.
Yeah, because most of the lands out there are federally held by the Indian tribes, correct?
Oh, they're huge landholders, and you know, you see, they keep their own herds of reservation horses, but there's not a lot of fences. So you know, when we've seen it in the Shawnee, we've seen it in the forest preserves up north in Illinois, and something that we've been concerned about, you know, since these prohibitions were proposed, was the potential for increases in abandonment, neglect, and the sad but true increase of horse vehicle collisions. So you know, it is a large problem. There will be we're in the planning stages of the second annual, what appears to be coming an annual Summit of the Horse, which will be held in Oklahoma City, the first week in April 2nd through the 5th, I believe, at the National Cowboy and Western Heritage Museum in Oklahoma City, and looking forward to that event coming up. We're also looking forward to the Illinois Horse Fair the first weekend in March, the 23rd annual Illinois Horse Fair, and our headliner will be Guy McLean, who's taking the country by storm, an Aussie horse trainer, and we'll have lots of other folks joining him, along with you know, our excellent educational programming and everything equestrian available at the trade show. So we hope everybody put that on the calendar, too, for the first weekend in March.
Where will that be held?
That's at the Illinois State Fairgrounds, as it has been. And it's a fantastic event. We welcome everybody to come back and join us. And if you haven't been there, come on out and check it out and learn about the horses.
Okay. Hey, Frank, earlier in the program you mentioned a web address that folks can get involved in what you're trying to do?
Absolutely. The best place to find information regarding horses or the horse industry or any of the current events is at the Horsemen's Council website, which is www.horsemenscouncil.org.
Also on the Farm Show today, field tile plays a very important role in the nation's food production system. Todd Gleason has more on why.
When a piece of land is tiled, more than water is wicked away. It's a simple concept and it makes perfect sense. When the city puts in a storm sewer, it moves water and anything that water can carry through the system. It picks up leaves and paper and shoes and sticks and whatever else the rushing water during a heavy rainfall can move. The grates on the sewer system strain out some of these items. Well, field tiles work pretty much the same way, with the exception that the grate is the soil around the tile. It doesn't generally have much of an above-ground inlet. The idea is to get the water to move through the soil profile, into the tile, and then into the watershed, the streams, the rivers, the ditches. It dries the soil out so it can be more easily farmed. Well, like the storm sewers, field tiles pick up and carry more than just water. Both actually carry a lot of fertilizer. Storm sewers pick it up directly from the lawns. The field tiles pick it up in solution. Some of the oldest field tiles have been around for more than 100 years, so this is not a new experience. draining water from a field to make it more farmable. Well, tiling a field is one of the best, easiest ways to make it more productive over the long term. The world needs that productivity, but there's a trade-off. Isn't that always the case? Those tiles carry away some of the plant food farmers apply to the field. These flow downstreams and cause plants to grow more hardily in places like, well, the Gulf of Mexico. It's a nicer way of saying fertilizers carried down the Mississippi cause algae blooms, the dead zone, hypoxia. Mark David at Illinois has been tabulating the data that correlates the two events. Here's an interesting commentary on their economic relationship.
The dilemma with hypoxia is it really hasn't caused a clear economic decline.
We shouldn't read anything more into Mark David's comments other than the two, field tile and the hypoxia zone, can or are related, and that the government has not moved to monitor or regulate one or the other because there isn't an economic implication related to the hypoxia zone. There is, however, clearly an economic and food security issue related to field tiles and their importance to the nation. So what to do? Well, Mark David says the thing to do is to concentrate conservation solutions in the areas that need it most. Those areas are easy to find, but it's much harder to convince Congress to pony up a targeted national solution.
Every state wants their share. So if half the money ends up going to Montana, you know, I mean, the problem is nobody in the Senate or in their legislature said, really, if we want to do nitrate, we need to focus on these dark areas. Mm-hmm. Well, but this guy's going to say, well, that's not fair. Montana should be getting a share of that money. So you end up, you know, paying for some structure out here that has no impact.
That, in a nutshell, thanks David, has been the failure of conservation programs. The money to fund structures and solutions is spread into areas where they have no impact. He says farming's a risk-laden business, and the solutions to the environmental issues make it riskier. The free market has not supplied an economic incentive to deploy those solutions. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Scientists in New Mexico are working to develop more drought-tolerant varieties of alfalfa. A breakthrough would be welcome news to farmers and ranchers who are paying up to twice as much for hay now as they did 1 year ago. Hay, including alfalfa, has been in short supply because of a drought in the Southwest. New Mexico State University Professor Ian Ray says two-thirds of hay produced in the United States is grown in drought-prone areas of the Great Plains or the Western United States. Ray and his team have identified a series of DNA markers on alfalfa chromosomes that they believe play a key role in producing more alfalfa with less water. They are now working to breed those characteristics into alfalfa hybrids typically grown in New Mexico. And once again, the DTN general opening call for today. Corn expected to open 1 to 2 lower, beans 3 to 4 lower, wheat 3 to 5 lower. The overnight crude oil market 76 cents lower at 102.20. Brent crude 62 cents lower at 111.51. We'll have commodity market updates throughout the day for you on WSMI FM 106 and on WSMI AM 1540. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by Wright Automotive of Hillsboro and by the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value.